Morning. Today's daf in Brachos Chaf Vav. We're in Chaf Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We are starting at the two dots with the words V'lo Yiskase. Lo b'mayim arayim v'lo b'mayim mishra as she'itol asochan mayim. We're going to go back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah, second to last Mishnah of the third Perek, taught us that there are certain areas where, certain times, where you're not allowed to daven, and that is if you remember you're a Balkari. So the Mishnah informed us that if a person davened and in the middle of his tefillah remembers he's a Balkari, so he shouldn't stop his davening, but he cuts her. Okay, and that takes us all the way back to the last number of days where we discussed the halacha of Balkari and Takanas Ezra. Then the Mishnah, Yar Litvol im Yachol La'alos V'Lizkasos Krash Shalotei Netzachami Yalav Yizkase V'Krash V'im Lav Lo Yizkase V'im Lav Lo Yizkase B'mayim V'Kari. The Mishnah then informs us in terms of at what point in time in the morning should you be able to say Shema, and that is before Netzachama. Okay, and then we discussed that yesterday as well. And then the Mishnah, V'lo Yizkase Lo B'mayim Arayim V'lo B'mayim Mishra. And don't go into a mikvah that is dirty. Right? Mayim Arayim means literally bad water, but it means foul water. And Mei Mishra, so Rashi, by the way, is on the Mishnah, but you're not going to find him on the Mishnah, Chav Beis Amud Beis. Rashi wasn't yesterday's daf. But anyway, the Mei Mishra is water that's soaked in flax. So, Ad Shiyata L'Sochan Mayim, until you put water in them. Now,
clean water.
Right, clean water. So, at this point in time, the Gemara is thinking right now, there's a mikvah, 40 saw of water, right? Hundreds of gallons of water. And it's really foul smelling. So you know what? Just dilute it. Dilute a mikvah. To which, and the Gemara says, what's going on over here? So the Gemara is going to pick it up right now. V'lo yiskase lo b'mayim arayim v'lo b'mayim mishra ashiyata l'socha mayim v'kama mayim rami vazo. How much water are you supposed to put into the mikvah? The mikvah is foul smelling. Oh, don't worry. Just dilute the mikvah. Dilute the mikvah. It's going to take tons of water. Literally. So Ela Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously at this point in time, we have to say a different pshat in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah doesn't mean we'll just simply dilute a mikvah. Okay, so Ela Hachi Kamar. So this is the pshat we'll say. Lo yiskase lo b'mayim arayim v'lo b'mayim mishra klal. When it comes to water that is foul smelling, so that you should not use at all. Meaning that's foul smelling water, and that's something that you should not be using b'chlal. Mei raglayim. And I'm sorry. And okay, fine. And as far as urine is concerned, so urine you could dilute. So what you'll do with urine is that if there's urine in the presence where you want to say Shema, so you dilute the urine. Atan Rabban, the Gemara now quotes the Braisa, Kama Yatalasocha Mayim Kol Shehu. Ah, so the dilution over here is not talking about the mikvah that's foul smelling. The dilution over here is only talking about where there's a small pool of urine around you, and in order just simply to mitigate the urine, so you dilute it. Now, how much water do you need to dilute urine? Now, when I say dilution, I'm probably not using the best word to describe what we're trying to do over here, because we're not diluting. But what we're simply doing is adding a little bit of water, which dissipates the foul odor of the urine. So how much water should I add? Kamiyat l'socha mayim kol shehu. So the Tanna Kama says kol shehu any amount. And Rav Zakeh Amar Revius, and Rav Zakeh says you got to put in a Revius, which is not a whole lot. A revius is a couple of ounces, 3 to 4 ounces of water. Am Rav Nachman Machlokes Besof, that's true if the urine is already there and you're trying to counteract the urine. Ava b'tchila kol shehein, however, if let's say you're going to urinate on water, so in other words, there was already water on the ground and you want to urinate on the water, so then everyone's in agreement that you don't need any amount of water. Right? The smallest amount would be fine. Now, why should that be? So, really interesting. Rashi over here, Aval Chatchila Rashi writes, Shekid Muhammad Lamei Araglaim Divrei Kol Kol Shehu Kishemato Mei Araglaim Bechli Lebesof Rishon Shenofel Asoch Hamayim Mit Batel. So Rashi says we have the idea of Kama Batel, the idea that when you're urinating on water, so every drop of urine that goes on water is going to become Batel, and that's the idea of Kama Batel. Ve'afal Pishem Rabin V'Hochin Kvar Bitlu. And Rashi over here also adds that let's say, presumably if you have a little bit of water on the ground and you're urinating on the water, so eventually obviously you're going to have more urine than water. And Rashi writes over here that the idea, the principle of kama batel is even though at the end the aggregate total is going to be much more urine than there is water, still we're going to say the idea of kama batel. Okay, that is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. Good, back to the Gemara. Rav Yosef, Amar Machlokas Achatchila. No, the debate of how much water is necessary, whether it's a Kol Shehu or whether it's a Revius, that's Lechatchila, meaning that's when the water is on the ground already. Aval Avasof Tivrakol Revius, but according to Rav Yosef, if let's say the urine's there, and now you want to counteract the urine, everyone agrees that you have to throw a Revius on top of the urine. Amale Rav Yosef Lishame Aisi Li Reviasa Damaya Karabi Zakai. And Rav Yosef says to his attendant, I want to daven. There's urine on the floor. Let's get a revius of water in order to pour over the urine. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Continuing, a little more bathroom talk. I know yesterday was a lot of bathroom talk. A little more bathroom talk in order to finish up today, yesterday's daf. Graf Shel Re'iva V'Shel Mei Raglaim. So we're talking about a Graf Shel Re'i, right? Some bag that had in it excrement, or V'Shel Mei Raglaim, or a bowl that was used for urine, right? Again,
chamber pot.
Thank you. Oh. So also the cross kriyashma kenegdem afa pishem bam klum. So you can't say kriyashma opposite them, even if they don't have anything in them. The idea that they were used historically for waste product means that you can't daven in front of them. You can't say shema in front of them. Now, in terms of urine itself, so you have to counteract it with water, like we already described. V'kama yatol asochamayim kol shu Rabbi Zakeh Amar Revius. Okay, and as far as how much water to put in, so again, the machlokus that we already saw, the Bryce over here reviews the machlokus, which we already know, and that is either a kol shehu or a revius. Bein lifnei amita, bein la'achar amita. Now, whether it's before the bed or whether it's after the bed, meaning back in the day, so this pot, this bowl, was put somewhere near the bed, and the Mishnah says it doesn't matter which side of the bed you're on, which side of the bed it's on, meaning the bowl is on. Shimon Gamliel Omer La'achar Amita Kore Lifnei Amita. I'm sorry, La'achar Amita Kore Lifnei Amita in a Kore. Now, according to Shimon Gamliel, if it's after the bed, you can read Shema. If it's before the bed, there you cannot say Shema. Ava Marchiku Arba Amos V'Kore. But what you could do is that you could put yourself at a distance of 4 amos and then read Shema. Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer Afilo Bayis Mea Amo Lo Yikara Ashiot Sim O Shiyanichem Tachas Amita. According to Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar, if you're in the same room with this bowl, you cannot say Kriya Shema. The room could be a very big room, a mea amah, 100 amas, right, an area, in width and length. It doesn't matter. The bowl must be taken out of the room or the bowl is put under the bed.
So we usually put it,
okay, that part's true. Okay. Adkan. So we have over here a brisa that gives us various opinions regarding when you and the chamber pot are in the same room together, at what point can you say Shema? Now, Ibai Lahu, Heche Kamar. Now, in terms of making this distinction of Achar Hamita and Lifnei Hamita, so the Gemara wants clarification. Achar Hamita Kore Miyad, Lifnei Hamita Marchik Arba Amos V'Kare. One possibility is that if it's on the other side of the bed, so there's a hefsek, there's a separation between you and the pot, and therefore you can read right away. And Lifnei Hamita Marchik Arba Amos V'Kare. Now, if it's on the same side of you, that you are on the bed, so then a distance of 4 amos would be sufficient. That's one possibility. Or maybe no. Maybe the pshat in the brisa is that if it's on the other side of the bed, so you still need archaka. Meaning you need two things. You need hefsek and you need archaka. If it's on the same side of the bed, so maybe you don't need, maybe there's nothing that can help you. Okay, fine. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, so I think I know the answer because I'm going to quote another brisa, Ditanya. Rav Shimon Elazar Amar Achar Amita Kore Miyad, Lifnei Amita Marchik Arba Amos. So in the second brisa, Rav Shimon Elazar says that if it's on the other side of the bed, no problem. If it's on your side of the bed, so you have to distance yourself 4 amos. Now, at this point in time, we have clarification, but we all are a little bit confused because we just quoted the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. In the previous brisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says you could be in the same room together, and at this point in time, I don't care how big the room is, you can't say Shema in the same room with a bowl. Over here, in this brisa, we have Rav Shimon ben Elazar talking about before the bed, after the bed. If it's on the other side of the bed, it's fine. So that part's confusing. The Gemara obviously is going to raise that as an issue because there's a stira between Shimon ben Elazar and Shimon ben Elazar. So we'll come back to that. But anyway, again, I'm going to restart from the beginning of the brisa, the second brisa. Shimon ben Elazar Omer Achar Amita Kor Miyad Lifnei Amita Marchik Arba Amos. So if it's on the other side of the bed, no problem. If it's on your side of the bed, 4 amos away. Rishimim Gamliel Omer, Afilo Bayis Mea Amalei Kara Achiotzim O Shianichim Tachas Amita. And in this brace, Rishimim Gamliel says, if you're in the same room, there's nothing you could do unless you put it underneath the bed. Okay, so Bayinif Shetalan. So the Gemara says, good. As far as the question of how to understand one side of the bed versus the other side of the bed, this brisa is much clearer than the first brisa. However, masis and kashan hadadi. However, if I note the shitas of the second brisa versus the first brisa, they are the opposite. So what do I do? So you could probably already figure out the solution. Epuch basraisa. So the Gemara says, flip it around. Flip around the second brisa so that the second brisa now is going to be a perfect match with the first brisa. Okay, and this is what the Amorim had to do. This is how they made their money. I don't mean, you know, literally, but this is when they have braces that are so to one another, so they have to adjust and edit. And over here, we're going to take the second brace, we're going to flip around the shita. So Gemara says, okay, look, we're going to do an editing, and we're going to flip around one of the braces. My chazis de afachta basraisa epoch kamaisa. Good. So flip around the first brace, not the second brace. Either way, you're going to get a match. What is the compelling reason that we're going to flip around the second brisa? So, man shamas landa amar kule bais karba amazami, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hi. So the Gemara says, no, because I know that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is generally of the opinion that an entire house is considered like Dala Amos. I know that is his general position. We're going to see this again in Erevin. So I know it's going to take some memory. But if you can remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, his general shita, that a house is always viewed as Dala Amos, it's one unified area. So that means to say that now, plugging it into our brisa, if you and the chamber pot are in the same house together, in the same room together, that's it. In other words, there's nothing that could solve the problem other than taking it and bring it to another room or another house. Right? Unclear. He uses the word bias, by the way. So that's why I'm a little bit unclear in terms of whether, right, room or house.
Could be a room.
I know, but he does use the word bias. But okay, that's one possibility. So that's why our Gemara says that if we're going to flip around any brisa, we're going to flip around the second brisa. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef by me name Rav Huna. Mita. Pachos mishlosha pshitali de kalavadamin. Okay, so in terms of a bed, now we're going to be talking about separate reshuyos. Okay, in Erevin, we're going to see a lot of this kind of discussion. Here in Brachos, not so much, but on this particular daf, this is the conclusion of yesterday's daf, a little bit of this discussion. Okay, and we know that in order to create a separate rishos, so ten tefachim for sure creates a separate rishos. So if I have an elevation or a depression of ten tefachim, for sure those are considered in halacha separate rishuyos, separate areas, halachically. Okay, and I also know that anything less than three tefachim, so we have the principle called lavud. And the principle of lavud tells me that anything less than three tefachim is if it's connected. Okay, right? In sukkah, you're going to hear a lot of this when we get to Masechta Sukkah. The idea that if I have a wall, but there is a break in the wall, but the break in the wall is less than three tefachim, lavud tells me that they're really connected. Okay, so I know for sure 10 tefachim is a separate rishus. I know for sure anything less than three tefachim is considered connected. And so that obviously creates a middle area. And so the Gemara now just wants to know, what are we going to say about that middle area? So, pachos mishosha pshita le dekalav adami, shosha arba, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmona, tisha, mahu, 3 through 9, what's the halacha? Amalei lo yadana, asar vada lo mi baile. So, lo mi baile. Look, 3 through 9, I don't know. 10, not even a question. Okay, so, I know what 3 is, or I should say better. I know what less than 3 is. I know what 10 is, but 3 through 10, I don't know. I'm Rabbi Shapirva Deloi Bailach, Kol Asar Rishus Achritahi. So he says, look, 10, so that's considered a separate Rishus. Okay, good. I'm Rabbi Hilchasa, Pachus Mishosha Kalavadami, Asar Rishus Achritahi. So Rabbi says, so here, let's say it clearly. Less than 3, Lavud. 10 or above, separate Rishus. Mishosha Asara, Hainu Dabai Mine Rav Yosef, Mirav Huna, Velo Pashalei. And it's anywhere in the range of 3 to 10, Rav Yosef asks Rav Huna, they weren't poshet. I'm a Rav, halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar, and Rav also says that the halacha falls like Rav Shimon Elazar, meaning that a chamber pot in the same room is going to ban you from saying Shema. V'chein amar Bali, I'm a Rav Yaakov, b'ra de bashmo, halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar. Other Amarim also cite the halacha like Rav Shimon Elazar. V'Rav Amar, in halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar, and Rav says the halacha does not fall like Rav Shimon Elazar. Okay, so the Amarim are debating whether or not having a distance from one from the chamber pot and the person is going to create a halachic separation or not. Having it on the other side of the bed is going to create a halachic separation. And the question is whether or not we do subscribe or do not subscribe to the opinion of Shimon Elazar. Again, Shimon Elazar says that a house is viewed as dalar amos, which means that as long as you and the chamber pot are in the same room together, it does not matter what the configuration is. You're on one side of the bed. It's on the other side of the bed. You're more than 4 amos away. You can even say both. According to Shimon Elazar, it's considered like you and the chamber pot are proximate to one another, and therefore you cannot say Shema.
Under the bed,
he says that's a separate rishus. Right. And if it's higher than 10 tefachim, that's a separate rishus. Okay, fine. But the question is, do we fundamentally hold like Rav Shimon ben Elazar? And the Amoraim are disputing that very issue. We are towards the bottom of Chaf Hamid Beis, Rav Achai Yasek Lelebrei, Bei Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. And Rav Achai was making a chasna for his son. Aile lechupa v'lo have mistayim milsa. And chasna was over. Husband and wife went into their new house. And lo mistayim milsa. And they were not having success in terms of consummating the marriage. So azo basrei le'iyune. And so therefore they're looking, what exactly is the issue over here? So they did an investigation, chazo sefer Torah demancha. And in the house there was a sefer Torah. Oh, so they figured it out. So they received obviously a certain amount of siyata d'shmaya, and so as to Kadosh Baruch Hu prevent them from having relations in front of a sefer Torah, which as we're about to learn together is, well, that's aser. Let's use the word aser. So so they saw that there was a sefer Torah there. So amalu eiku hashta lo asan sakintan libri. So he says, you know, had we not done the investigation, they consummated the marriage in front of the sefer Torah, that would have been a sakana. So in other words, the Gemara over here uses really strong marriage, meaning it's not just an isser, but there's some danger involved in behaving in such a manner. Detanya by sheish bo sefer Torah tefillin asa l'shamish bo samita ad shiotziyem o shneihem kli besoch kli. So the Brice over here says that if I have a house where there's a sefer Torah or there's tefillin, a husband cannot be with his wife until it is removed from the house or double bagging. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because earlier we talked a little bit about this. The Gemara didn't use the language of Kli B'Soch Kli as clearly as it's using right now. This is where we're going to see in the Gemara in Brachos clear usage of the term Kli B'Soch Kli. That's one bag within another bag.
Why are you using the Lashon of Bias rather than Cheder?
I'm just following the Gemara.
Why is the Gemara?
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good.
Because they had a one-room house. That's fine.
I think Phil's right. Their houses were very, very straightforward. Amar Abai Lo Shano Ola B'Klisha Ein Kilyan. Avav Klisha Hu Kilyan. Afilu Asara Mani Kechad Mani Dami. So the Gemara says, fine. Kli B'Soch Kli is going to envelop the Sefer Torah to the point where now it no longer obstructs the husband and wife from having relations. That's true. However, says the Gemara, if it is something that is Kilyan, meaning it was tailor-made for it, so then that does not satisfy the requirement of Kli B'Soch Kli. So in other words, let's say you have tefillin and you put it in a tefillin bag. So the tefillin bag is designed for the tefillin, and so therefore that does not constitute one Kli. You would need two more than that. There is a really lengthy and interesting discussion. I'll just bring it up that regarding the mezuzah that's put in front of the door of the bedroom of the husband and wife. So how is that going to now be protected? So first of all, it's on the other side of the door, right, which is most of the time where it is. But let's just imagine, for whatever reason, the construction of the house, let's say it's not. Let's say it's on the interior for whatever reason. So is that Kli B'Soch Kli? So based on what we learned in the Gemara, the answer seems to be no. Because what normally happens with the mezuzah is you take the cloth, you roll it, and you put it in a parchment. But generally speaking, that parchment is designed for the tefillin. And then you put it in a case. That case is designed for the tefillin. So the Gemara over here is requirement of Kli B'Soch Kli in order for husband and wife to have relations. So presumably the mezuzah is not Kli B'Soch Kli. Again, assuming it's on the interior. If it's on the exterior, so then obviously you have much more, you know, it's on a separate part of the house. It's on the outside of the room.
But if you take a mezuzah and put it in the plastic and then into a Kli, right?
Yeah, okay, fine.
That's a double.
Okay, so Okay, so I know. I raised the issue. There's much more discussion on it. But just in other words, just thinking through the Gemara and trying to put it into some form of practice. Okay, Amar Rava. Continuing now in the Gemara on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Beis. Amar Rava Glima Akamtara Kekli B'Soch Kli Dami. Okay, he's referring to some sort of chest. Rashi describes it as the Arga Shel Sfarim. Okay. So the right Sfarim chest. So that's considered Kli B'Soch Kli. Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Sefer Torah Tzarich La'Asoslo Mechitza Asara. The Rav Shulman Levi says that when it comes to Sefer Torah, so if a person wants to engage in Tashmish with his wife, so he can create a mechitza, a partition separating the Sefer Torah and the other side of the room. Mazutra ikla lebe ravashi chazu.
If it's double wrapped.
No, even if it's not, even if it's no, not double wrapped.
If it's not.
Even if it's not.
Not even. Double wrapped, if it's not.
No, I think he was adding to it. No?
I don't think so, but I'm open to the idea that I'm not correct, but I don't think so. So the Alasos Lamechitza Sarah Marzutra Ikla Bay Ravashi Chazel Laduchte Damar Baravashi. Damanach Bay Sefer Torah Va'avile Mechitza Sarah. And so now Marzutra goes to Ravashi's house and he sees that Mar Baravashi, there was a Sefer Torah and there was a Mechitza that was 10 Tfachim, high. So he had a partition separating the Sefer Torah from the area in which he had relations with his wife. Okay. So Amalei Kaman Ka Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. So he says, oh, okay, fine. So I see. So you're passing like Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Is that the idea? So Amar Dama Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Deleis Le Beis Achrita Mar Ha Is Le Beis Achrisa. So he says, wait one second. This is a situation where Ein Breira, there's no other choice. Meaning that it's a one-room house, and this is just simply how you function. And you have a Sefer Torah in the house. So under those circumstances, so then Mechitza Asara. But if you have another place to put the Sefer Torah, you for sure should put the Sefer Torah in the other place and not rely on the Mechitza Asara. So Amar Leih Lava Daite. And his response is, you know what? I wasn't considerate enough. I simply didn't think of it. You're right. I should have considered that. Kami Yarchik Mehem Minasor Arba Amos Amarava. Amarav Schora Amarav Huna Loshanu Elala Chorav. Avalafan of Marchik Malo Enav. Okay, this idea of Harchaka, of moving away from the Tzoa for Amos. Now, when we say move away from the Tzoa, like we said yesterday, not just moving away from it, but from the smell as well. But moving away from the Tzoa for Amos, so that's only when the Tzoa is behind you. But if the Tzoa is in front of you, so the Gemara modifies and the Gemara qualifies and the Gemara says, Malo Enav. It has to be where it no longer is in your vision. In other words, pasnish, it's just simply disrespectful to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu when there's someone in front of you, even though you're richlik, even though you're at a distance. V'chein letzvila, and the Gemara says it's true for Shmatz, true for Shmona Esrei as well. Ini v'amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista, Omid Adam Kedeged Beis HaKisim Espalo. So the Gemara says that a person could be facing the Beis HaKisim daven hachem ha'mezkinan be'Beis HaKisim she'en bo tzoa. So the Gemara says, well, that's just talking about a Beis HaKisim that has no tzoa. Ini the Gemara says, is that true? V'amar Rav Yosef Bar Chanina Beis HaKisim she'amar af api she'en bo tzoa. What are you talking about? A bathroom, even if it doesn't have tzoa, and a besamechas hashvitz, even though there's no person there. Meaning the makamos themselves are just simply inappropriate to daven. Opposite. So they're talking about a new bathroom, meaning a bathroom that has never been used, only designated but not used. So the Gemara says, okay, here we go back again, another round of hazmana. We already did this earlier in the perek. We're going to do this again. So the Gemara says, "Vahami baile le Ravina, he's min le beis akisa mau yezimon ein zimon." Is there hazmana? Now Abaye, we saw earlier in our perek, says that there is hazmana. That was the opinion of Abaye. So Ravina over here seemingly is asking the same question. Now it's a little bit strange. In other words, Ravina didn't know Abaye's opinion. Maybe there was a distinction between Abaye's case and our case over here. Okay, worthwhile consideration. But meanwhile, Ravina asked the question. Is there a zimun or is there no zimun? Meaning, is there any kind of designation by a bathroom? You have not used it, you just simply designated it. So, ki kami ba'ilele Ravina la'meikam ala l'tzluya begaveh. Ava k'neg dolo. It's true Ravina has a question. Ravina had a question about davening in the area that is designated as a bathroom, even though it's never been used. We're not talking about davening in the area, we're talking about davening opposite the area. Amarava hani bati kisei de prasai afagav dispeit soa kisesumendamit. Rava says that if you have the Persian bathrooms, even though there is tzoa, it's considered sesumim, it's considered like it is closed and covered. Okay, the Persian bathrooms. Okay, here we go. Now there is not much in Rashi over here, but every word of Rashi is critical regarding his description of the Persian bathroom. Take a look at Rashi inside. I'm reading. Parsai Rashi bechafir hayu. So it was dug. In other words, it was something close to plumbing, not exactly, but close. So bechafir hayu upiyam berichuk menaguma. So you're going to go deposit your waste into a hole. And that entrance is far away from the actual hole. V'hu bishipua, and it's at an incline, says Rashi. V'ari'i mitgagel v'nofel aguma. And what's going to happen with the waste matter is it's going to roll and it's going to go into the hole. Okay, so there is a opening in which you're going to deposit. It's a some sort of canal that is inclined, taking all the waste matter into a pit. And the Gemara says that's the Persian bathroom. And the Gemara says that the Persian bathroom is considered kistumim. It's considered like a closed area. And so therefore you could daven. Now, it's not clear from the Gemara. Can you daven mamish in that area or opposite that area? Not perfectly clear. If the Gemara means that you could daven in that area, so it would seem to be then that our bathrooms, which is more sophisticated than the Persian bathroom. So we have a system in which, the water carries it off when it's flushed away, and so we have this thing called indoor plumbing. It's amazing. So it stands to reason that in our bathrooms, our modern bathrooms over here are going to be in the very least like the Persian bathroom. And again, I know also there's a discussion. Right, RJJ article years ago was written up on this. And so it is a question of how to translate the Gemara in this Persian bathroom to our modern bathrooms nowadays. We're going to finish up the Mishnah and the Perek over here, last Mishnah of the third Perek of the Masechta. We saw this Mishnah earlier. Again, just to go before we start with the Mishnah, let's just do a quick reminders. A man or a woman cannot learn Torah until if they are a Balkari, until they tovel the mikvah. Okay, this is Takanas Ezra. Ezra wanted people to be learning Torah with seriousness. And so therefore, if the husband and wife are together, so they cannot learn Torah until Tefillah B'Mikvah. And so this Takanas Ezra, which we already discussed extensively back on Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, and Chaf Gimel. So the Gemara, the Mishnah over here brings it up again. Now remember, this Mishnah talks about a person who's tummy for two reasons. One, for an external reason, or in other words, external. Meaning for another reason, he's a Zav. Or we're going to give three examples here in the Mishnah. And on top of that, he's a Balkari. And so the question becomes as follows. He's going to tovel in the mikvah. It's not going to relieve him from his major tumah, but it would be enough to remove the Balkari tumah so that he can learn Torah. So should he do so? So the Tanna Kamma says yes. And Rav Yehuda is going to say no. And that's the Mishnah that we already saw before. And let's see it now again. Zav Shara Keri V'nida Shapal Tashich V'zero V'amishamesha Shirasa Nida Tzricha Tvila Rav Yehuda Poter. So the Mishnah gives three different illustrations of this idea of the person having two tumas. One is Zav Shara Keri. So he's a Zav, and on top of that, he's a Baal Keri. Now for a Zav, he's a major Zav. So relief from that tumah only comes after Shiv Nekiyim, and he's on day one or day two. And so now, Tovel in the Mikvah because of Takanas Ezra, and even though he's still going to have the balance of the 7 days in order for him to become Tahor from his Zivas. Nida Shepalta Shechva Zera. A woman who's a Nida, and let's say right before she became a Nida, she was with her husband. 3 days after she's with her husband, she is still discharging some of the Zera that was inserted into her. And so she is considered halachically a Balkari, on top of being a Nida as well. And she tovel in the mikvah. And again, the Tanna Kamma says yes. In order for her to... Now remember, what's the woman going to do? So, I mean, she can learn Torah. She's exempt from learning Torah, but she can learn Torah. But also she has Shema, although we learned in our Perek that she's exempt from Shema. She has tefillah, and we learned also that a woman has to go into the mikvah before, a man or a woman has to go into a mikvah before they daven, Shmona Esrei. Okay, so there are numerous reasons, some stronger than other, in terms of why a woman has to tovel for Takanas Ezra. And so, and admittedly, by the way, it's going to be a little bit confusing, meaning she's going to tovel in the mikvah because of Takanas Ezra, even though for her nida, it didn't do anything. And the third example of the Mishnah is Hamishamesh Shiras Anida. She had relations with her husband. Now, having relations with her husband gives her the status of being a Balkari. And then afterwards, she becomes a Nida. So again, it's the same idea where now she's going to be requiring a tefillah for Takanas Ezra, even though her needs of tumah is going to continue. So tzrich and tefillah, in all these cases, there's a tefillah requirement. Rav Yehuda potter, Rav Yehuda says you're potter. Now you remember, why did we quote this Mishnah early in the Masechta? Because we wanted to make the case, the Gemara did make the case, that according to Rav Yehuda, if the only consideration is Balkari, so then Rav Yehuda says that there's a requirement to tov on the mikvah. Meaning he does subscribe to Takanas Ezra, albeit not to the same degree as the Tanakama, but he does subscribe to the Takanas Ezra. Who didn't subscribe to Takanas Ezra? So I'm just saying this by way of review. That was Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, a different Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra just simply said, Divrei Torah ain't a mekablam tuma. That is what the conclusion the Gemara arrived at back on Daf Chaf Beis. And so therefore, according to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, there is no need bizmanenu to tovol after a man or a woman has the status of being a balkari. Okay. Anyway, with all that stated, Ibai Lahu, the Gemara's question over here. Now, this is also good review because the Gemara already asked this question. Balkari Shirazivala Rav Yehuda Mahu. So let's say it's a balkari that becomes a zav. Why is that a question? Because our Mishnah went in the order of zav shira keri. So all we're doing now over here is we're just simply flipping around the order. First the person was a balkari and now he becomes a zav. What would Rav Yehuda say? So in the case of the Mishnah, where first you're a Zav, then you're a Balkari. So you see, for the Zav, you are not a Bal Tfila, meaning Tfila right now is not going to do anything for you. And it's only later when you become a Balkari, is there a requirement? But Rav Yehuda's argument would be, yeah, but you didn't start with a Takanas Ezra requirement. But if we flip around the order, where first you're a Balkari and then you're a Zav. So now, once you become a Balkari, now you have a Takanas Ezra obligation. You became Tamei through another Tumah, so what? You still had the Takanas Ezra obligation. Odim Aloshnar, maybe the Gemara says it's no different. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Hamishamesh is Verasa Nida, Tzrich Hatfila, Rav Yehuda Poter. Vahamishamesh is Verasa Nida, Kabalkari, Shera, Aziva Damya, Vikapata Rav Yehuda, so Shmamina. So the Gemara basically says, we did this before, the Gemara says, go to the third case of the Mishnah. What's the third case of the Mishnah? Husband and wife at Tashmish, then she becomes a Nida. That's an example where first you had the Takanas Ezra Tfila, followed then by her being a Nida. And in that third case of the Mishnah, what happened? Machlokas, between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. So you see that according to Rav Yehuda, it doesn't matter what the order is. As long as there is a Takanas Ezra Tfila and some other Tuma, so under those circumstances, according to Rav Yehuda, you don't have to Tovel. So Tani Rabbi Chia Behejah Balkari Shiraz Ziv Atzirich Tefila Rabbi Yehuda Poter. Okay, good. And the Gemara just finishes with a Brisa Rabbi Chia that tells us what we know already. We knew it through deduction. And here in the Brisa it says a Beferish that if you have a Balkari who becomes a Ziva, so the order is first Balkari and then Zivas. So there's a Tefila requirement, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's your Poter. Hadron Lach Misha Mesu. That is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. And let us begin now the fourth parak of the Masechta.
Rabbi Yehuda, you can learn Torah.
Yeah.
Because
he's of the opinion that because there's another tumah, so the balkari requirement gets waived. Understood. Yeah. I hear you. Okay. We start this morning the fourth parak of the Masechta, and we now move to Shemone Esrei. Let's take a step back from the Masechta for a moment. Okay. The brachos has got 9 parakim. We discussed this on day 1 of the Masechta. The first 3 parakim are dedicated to the halachas of Shema and Kriya Shema. First parak taught us when to say Shema. Second parak taught us a little bit more of how to say Shema. And the third parak talked about exemption. Who's exempt from Shema? Okay, so I know I just reviewed 25 blad of Gemara real quickly. But that's the basic idea. In other words, that's the first 3 parakim of the Masechta. Fourth and fifth parak are going to deal with Shemone Esrei, the requirement of saying Amida. The sixth parak talks about bracha rishona, a little bit about bracha achrona, alamichya. Seventh parak talks about benching, and the eighth and ninth parakim of the Masechta deal with various other brachas that are to be said. Okay, so good. So that is that's the Masechta in a nutshell. And so now we're in the fourth parak, so we're transitioning now from Shema to Shemone Esrei. Now the requirement of Shema is 2 times a day. The requirement of Shemone Esrei is 3 times a day. We have something called Shacharis Mincha Marv. I know we're all familiar, but the Mishnah over here is going to spell out now the requirements, and the Mishnah here is going to talk about time. Right? The first discussion that's going to be had in our parak is when. When to say Shacharis, when to say Mincha, and when to say Marv. Tfilas HaShachar Ad Chatzos, so Tfilas HaShachar you have up until midday. Rav Yehuda Amar Adal Chaos, and Rav Yehuda says you have up until 4 hours into the day. Again, like the Shema, like we said regarding Shema, let's just review for Shemone Esrei as well. 3 hours into the day, 4 hours into the day, 3 hours for Shema, 4 hours for Shemone Esrei. So these hours are not objective, but they're going to be subjective based on when the day began and when the day ends. In other words, they're going to fit into the hours of a day. So in the equinoxes of the year, so it's going to be 12 hours, each hour made up of 60 minutes, and so good. So it's going to look like a perfect day, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., right? Even in the equinoxes, it doesn't work out exactly like that, but you get the basic idea. In the solstices, so in the winter solstice, obviously the day is much shorter. In the summer solstice, the winter day is, I'm sorry, in the summer solstice, so the day is going to be much longer. So obviously then the hours get adjusted. Oh, good, fine. That's point number one. Another point to consider is from when to when. So we already pointed this out by Shema. I'm just going to simply repeat and review. So it's a machlokis. It's what I would call a classic or famous machlokis between the Magen Avraham and the Gra in terms of when do we start counting from, when do we start counting till. So the Gra says you go from sunrise to sunset, and the Magen Avraham says that you go from dawn until Tzeis HaKochavim until night. Okay. So, and that's why when you look at go to Maizman. It's a fantastic site to tell you when to daven. You know, when the Zmanim are. So you'll understand that all the shitas that are given over here is based on the machlokas in terms of when to start counting from to when to start counting to. Okay, good. So Shemone Esrei you have till, so it's machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakama says Chatzos, Rav Yehuda says until 4 hours of the day. Stay tuned later, the Gemara is going to discuss which position we follow. Tilos a mincha ad ha'erev. So when it comes to mincha, you have until erev. Okay. Now that's that's a term that's slightly unclear. Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes ad ha'erev ad chashecha. So Rashi says you have until dark. So what does Rashi mean by that? Okay. So these one word Rashi's, by the way, two word Rashi's are fodder for a lot of discussion. Okay, so Rashi certainly sounds like that you have until the evening until you say mincha. You take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah over here, right? You know there's a shita like this because it's pretty much the accepted viewpoint. You take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah over here. Ada erev means sunset, right? Ada erev does not mean anything other than sunset. Okay, I understand the Mishnah uses a loose term to describe sunset. Okay, but that's Rabbeinu Yonah over here in terms of understanding the word erev. Rabbi Yehuda Amir ad plaga mincha. Rabbi Yehuda says that you have up until plaga mincha to say mincha. Now, plaga mincha mean that you're going to take the mincha period of time, you're going to divide it in half. Okay. What is the mincha period of time? So, again, I'm going to ask that we hold off on that because the Gemara is going to discuss that very point as well. Tilos ha'erev. And now we get to the Tilos ha'erev. We call it ma'ariv. Okay. So, ein la keva. So, the Mishnah says that there's no keva. Which sounds like, and Rashi writes over here on the Mishnah, kol alayla zmana, that you have the whole night to daven. V'shal musaf and kol yom, and musaf is the entirety of the day. Okay. You have all day to daven musaf. Okay, so, and the last line of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ashev HaShavos, we're going to ignore that for now. The Gemara is going to bring that up a little bit later on. Okay, so, in our Mishnah, we were introduced to Shachris, Mincha, Mariv, and Musaf. Now, in terms of the presentation of this information, most of it makes perfect sense, meaning that the Mishnah over here is going to give us a day and the times of the day in which you should be davening Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. It is a little bit strange, however, that it's the way the Mishnah presents to us the davenings are Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, and Musaf. It's a little bit out of place. Okay, so why would the Mishnah... Okay. Why would the Mishnah present it in such a manner? So if you take a look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos Divra Maskel Tfilas HaShachar Chatzos. So he writes, I'm just reading the last lines of the Tosfos, L'hachi Maktim Tfilas HaMincha L'Tfilas Musafim, Mishum Shehi Tadira B'chol Yom, Afa Pisha Tfilas Musafim Kodemes. So it's an interesting Tosfos, meaning even as the Mishnah is presenting the information also is presented in a model of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir. Meaning it's not we're not talking about halachically, we're talking about just simply how the Mishnah presents it. Mincha's every day. Musaf's not every day. Right? Musaf is Rosh Chodesh. Musaf is Shabbos. But it's not every day. So the Mishnah is going to give us the tefillahs that are said daily. And then, even though Musaf on a day-to-day basis comes before Maariv, and comes before mincha, but nevertheless it's not usual, and that's why it's put at the end of the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, good. Let's start the Gemara. Uri minhu. The Gemara begins. Mitzvah sa'ad emanaitzacham kedesh yismachgulu letzfila. V'nimsa mispalo bayom. The Gemara says, remember what we learned back earlier in the Masechta. We did this on Daf Tes. We did this on Chaf Hei. And the idea that you're going to be davening when? So emanaitzacham. You're going to be davening at sunrise. And so our Mishnah says you have 4 hours into the day. You have until chatzos. And earlier we said we're davening Shemoneh Esrei by sunrise. So Kitanya Yehila Vasik, and the Gemara says, okay, but we're going to say, and we've said this already also, that in terms of Netzachama, that's the optimal time for tefillah. But that doesn't mean that you have the deadline of tefillah. Damar Rav Yochanan Vasik, and Ayu Gomer Mosayim and Netzachama. I'm sorry, Gomer Mosayim and Netzachama. The Vasikin would finish it over here, meaning reference to Shema. Shema would be finished im HaNetzachama. So that way, that when you're saying your Shemoneh Esrei, you'll be saying it with Netzachama. V'chulei amar chatzos v'sulo. The Gemara says, now, as far as when is the deadline? So once you get to midday, that's the drop-dead deadline for everybody in terms of shacharis. You can't say shacharis any point after that. V'amar of Mary Berei, d'Rav Huna Berei, d'Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, amar of Yochanan Tav, lo yispalo arvis mispal v'shachar shtayim. So the Gemara says, I don't think that's true based on the statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that if you forget to daven Mariv, so next morning you wake up, shachris twice. Shachris mispal me mincha shtayim. If you, for whatever reason, miss shachris, so you say two minchas. So it's what we call tashlumim, the halach of tashlumim. So kuli yom emasu va'azal achatzos, yavilei schar tefillah bizmana, mikan ve'elech svar tefillah, yavilei schar tefillah bizmana lo yavilei. So the Gemara gives the answer, which, quite frankly, is intuitive, and we all would have figured it out, and that is as follows. The times that are given in the Mishnah is for, not only for tefillah, but tefillah bezmana. Meaning, tefillah has a certain zman in which it's supposed to be said. So when you say the tefillah in its zman, so now you're going to get schar. What are you going to get schar for? Tefillah and zman. If, let's say, you miss shacharis, and now you're davening mincha two times, okay, so you get a check for shacharis, you just simply don't get a check for shachris bizmana. That's all. So it's just a question of understanding that there's tefillah and there's zman, and obviously we want to try to get both tefillah and zman. Okay, in the Brice we talked about tashlumim. If you miss Mariv, you daven shachris twice. If you miss shachris, you daven mincha twice. Gemara's question, let's say you miss mincha. So now, Arvis, are you going to say Marv two times? Intim, Salam Atavalo, Ispal, Arvis, Mispal, Shachris, Beis, Vishim, Dechad, Yomu, Dechsi, Vayir, Vayivoka, Yomachat. So the Gemara says, I understand missing Mariv and saying Shachris twice during the same day. Ava Hachat, Fila, Bamachum, Karban, who? They came into Avar, Yom, Abata, Karbano. On the other hand, if you miss Mincha, and now you're going to go to Mariv, so Mariv now is a new day. And by Karban, we know the Halacha by Karban. You miss the day of Karban, you don't make up a Karban. You can't just simply say, oh, you know what, I forgot the Karban yesterday, okay, I'll just bring it today, if we're talking about a calendar of Karban. Okay, so, and the idea by Karban is that, right, Avar Yomo Bata Karban, no, the day passes, you don't bring a Karban. Maybe the same thing should be true by Mincha. You forgot Mincha. And we'll talk about Be'onis versus Mezid, but you forgot Mincha. So now, what are you going to do? You're going to daven Mariv twice, isn't that a new day? So Odilma came into Tzlusa Rachamehi, Kalemis Abai Matzle Vazel. On the other hand, in other words, we're going to compare Karbanis to davening. And we're going to do a lot of that. And we're going to do more of that this morning. But over here, when all said and done, it is Tefillah. And Tefillah, I'm asking mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Rachamim. And so maybe the Tashlumim concept would be true, even if I am going and making up a mincha that I forgot. And maybe Tashlumim would allow me to do Marv twice. Tashma d'amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda amar Yitzchak amar Rav Yochanan tav v'lo hispala mincha mispala arviz beis ve'im b'zem mishum d'avar yomo bata karbano. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan. Yes, you can make it up. You forgot mincha, you can make it up by Mariv two times. Meitzve, the Gemara quotes a b'raisa mu'uvas lo yichol itkon v'chisarn lo yichol imanos. Mu'uvas lo yichol itkon. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Koheles. We've seen this pasuk in Koheles numerous times throughout Shas, meaning there's certain mistakes that you can't fix, Right? The Gemara gives a simple example. Rachmanus, a man and woman commit adultery, and they have a child. That child's a mamzer. That's a mistake. Right? And no sorry, no apologies are going to be able to ever correct such a mistake. That's me'uvas asher lo yuchal litkon. Okay, good. So the Mishnah quotes that numerous times. So over here, the Bryce is quoting it in the following scenario. Me'uvas lo yuchal litkon zeh shebitol kriyas shma sha'arvis kriyas shma sha'shachris. So let's say you didn't say Shema. Let's say you didn't daven Shachris. You didn't daven Maariv. Okay, so okay, you made a mistake, and it's the kind of mistake that you can't undo. And in terms of a chisaron, where lo yuchalimnos, in other words, there's no undoing it. So let's say, for example, that the group got together to do a mitzvah. Whatever the mitzvah was, and you didn't participate, and you decided, you know what, I'm gonna skip out on this one. Okay, so later that day or the next day, you went over and you say, you know what, I really wanted to go. I know I said no, but I wanted to go. Okay, they'll say to you, look, the mitzvah's done. You didn't participate. So, what do we have over here? Seemingly a stira, because the brisa we just learned together taught us that if you forgot the tefillah, you can't make it up. Okay, I know everyone here knew the answer, but the Gemara over here spells it out. Okay, so when can you not make it up? You can't make it up if you missed a bemezin. So you know a shacharis and you're just sitting there, you're lying in bed, and you're like, nah, not today. I'm not interested in shacharis today. Then later that day, you come to your senses. I should have davened shacharis. What was wrong? I was tired? Okay, but I should have davened shacharis. But if at the time you were amazed, you knew fully well that you had the opportunity, you decide you're not going to take advantage of it, so that's something where you can't make up. Tashlumim is not for you. Tashlumim is for somebody who's an ones. So the Hachmai Eskin Shabitah B'mezid. Okay. Amar Avashi Dekan Ami Diktani Bata V'lo Ketani Ta'a Shmamina. You read the Braisa, it's in the Braisa, you just got to read it carefully. The Braisa says that you were a Mevatel. Mevatel means that you nullified it, that you you're right, you patently ignored it. And under those circumstances, you can't make it up. Okay, so the basic distinction in halacha between a shogig versus a mezid. By shogig, you have tashlam and you can make it up. By mezid, you can't make it up. Okay, now, you could do tshuva, just certain things can't be undone. Right, that's the me'uva shasher yuchal lo yuchal litkon. Right, I'm going to go back to the extreme example that I gave just moments earlier. So the man and woman produce a mamzer. So of course they could do tshuva. But in terms of the effects of that which they did, that's it. That's it. So over here, so when you were mevatel shachris b'mezid, so yeah, there's tshuva, but at the same time, that shachris is just simply, that's lost. It's a lost shachris. Tanu Rabban on the Gemara quotes. Okay, yeah, they're correct. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tavlo Ispala Mincha Be'erev Shabbos Mispala Belel Shabbos Shtayim. So good. So you miss Mincha on Erev Shabbos and, right, excusable, meaning, I say excusable. Like, in other words, you know, when it be done, the Kafs Chus, but, right, you were so busy. You just simply, you didn't have time for Mincha. You're coming home from work, you just didn't have time for Mincha. You didn't have Mincha. Fine. So you come to Shul Friday night, and now it's Maariv, so you say Maariv. So you're going to say two Shmoneh Esrei Maarivs. Now, Friday night Maariv is different than your weekday Mincha. So what are you going to do? You're going to say your Friday night Maariv two times over. Even though the second one that you're doing is making up for the weekday, but that's exactly the point. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa. So Mespal B'lo Shabbos Shtayim. Tavolo Yispal Mincha B'Shabbos Mespal B'Mosei Shabbos Shtayim. Shochol. And now, you miss your mincha afternoon, less excusable, but again, we're talking about a show gig. There was a toa, he made a mistake, and right, he slept, all right? Okay, so so he was toa, so now Motzei Shabbos, you're going to be davening Maariv, you'll be davening Maariv two times. Now, what Shmoneh Esrei are you going to be davening? You're going to be doing a weekday Shmoneh Esrei two times, even though the second Shmoneh Esrei is making up for your Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, but that's exactly the Chiddush of the Braisa. So, Mavdo B'Rishon Aveinu Mavdo B'Shniya. Okay, now, in your Motzei Shabbos tefillah, so we know, we're going to be discussing it in our perek, so you're going to say Atachon Antanu. In the fourth bracha of Atachonain, it's Machlokas Tanayim, but let's say it like the halacha. So you're going to be adding Atachon Antanu. So now you know coming up ahead of you are two marifs. So which one should you say atachon antano? So it's actually very simple. The first one is your real mariv. So that you're going to say atachon antano. Your second one is your tashlumim. So you're not going to say atachon antano. Now, interesting. The braisa doesn't stop there. The braisa goes on. The im hivdil bishniyah v'lo hivdil b'rishona shniyah altalo rishona lo altalo. Now let's say you made a havdalah in your second one. So, and you didn't say atachon antanu in your first one. So the braisa says shniyah altalo rishona lo altalo. So the first shmoneh esrei that you davened, worthless. Did not have any value. The second shmoneh esrei, okay, good. That'll serve as your first shmoneh esrei. And presumably, you're going to then have to do a tashlumin. Presumably. Now, lememar dekevin delo avda b'kamaisa kaman delo tzali dami. So the Gemara says, now, here's what we're saying. It's a big chiddush. That you daven motzei Shabbos, amar of motzei Shabbos, and you left out atachon antanu. That's not a tefillah. That's what we're saying. To which the Gemara says, and the person has to say shmoneh esrei again. Urimenu, and the Gemara says, but here's the confusing part. We have a brisa that says that if you forget Mashiv Ruchim Redagashim, you should be saying it. And if you forget Vesein Talamatal of Racha, I apologize for not doing the Sephardic version. I just don't know it. And if you forget that in the ninth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, I know, I'm a work in progress. So machzir noso. So those are unforgivable mistakes, and you have to say Shmoneh Esrei again. However, havdal b'chonen adasim machzir noso mimnei shiachol amar alakos. But if you forget atachon antanu in your motzei Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei, it's okay. There, you'll get a second chance. It's called havdalah. So that's fine. It doesn't steer your Shmoneh Esrei. Your Shmoneh Esrei is still good. And so, the question is good. The question is so good. We just learned now that by Motzei Shabbos, if you forget Atachon and Tanin, your Mariv is still a good Mariv. And meanwhile, for the guy who forgot Mincha on Shabbos afternoon, and now he's saying his Tashlumim, and the first Shmoneh Esrei was sans Atachon and Tanu, and the second Shmoneh Esrei was with Atachon and Tanu, the first one is discounted, and the second one now counts, and why? And the Gemara concludes, Kasha, the Gemara says, you know what? That's a good question. that's difficult. Okay, I'm with you. And then the Gemara goes on from there. So, good. So,
Abdullah is a tashlumin, but if you already said that.
Okay. So good. So good. So the objective over here, Phil's already ahead. So the objective over here is that even though the Gemara comes at like an impasse, and the Gemara says Kasha, but if you think about it though, you can provide an answer to this question. There is a way to respond to this question. And the Gemara is funny like this sometimes. The Gemara sometimes, even though you and I can easily, you and I can come up with an answer to this question, the Gemara sometimes just feels that, you know what? Let's just leave the question as a good question. It's a good question. Yes. Right. Good. So the question that Hedy asks is Rosh Chodesh and Yalav Yavo. So four more on that. Tosos right over here. The top Tosos on the Amud Beis. He talks about that issue, and it's to summarize Tosos in just a sentence. It's Machlokas. Tosos, the Balei Tosos, debate that very issue. Okay, Itmar. I'd like to go on a little bit further because we have an opportunity to catch up, and I really want to be I want to be where we should be. So let us go a little bit further in the Gemara. Idmar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Tfilos, Avos Tiknum, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar Tfilos, Keneget Tminim Tiknum. And here we are in Brachos, Chavav Amud Beis, the classic debate of, we know there's an institution of Tfilah. That institution of Tfilah was put together by the Chachamim. Anche Knesset HaGadola put together Shmoneh Esrei. We'll talk more about that in the fifth parak of our Masechta. And quite frankly, also the Gemara Megillah. Strange placement of that discussion. But anyway, good. So when the Chachamim instituted Tefillah, what was the platform? What is the reason in terms of why they instituted it? So we have over here Machlokas Amarayim. So according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, it's because of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's because of the Karbanos. And the Gemara discusses both. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Vitanya Kavasi de Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina. So here we have a braisa supporting Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina that the tefillos are platformed based on the avos. Avram tikein tefillos shachris shenemar v'yeshkem Avram baboker elam hakamasher amad sham. Good. Avram wakes up early in the morning by stone. And El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. And Amida, in Amida El Atfila. The standing is a reference to davening. Shenemar Ve'amod Pinchas Ve'ipalel. Quoted this pasuk already earlier in Tehillim. Yitzchak Tiken Tfilas Mincha. Yitzchak is the one who instituted Mincha. Shenemar Ve'yetzei Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. Lifnos Erev. Before Erev. By the way, that is probably why our Mishnah uses the word Erev in terms of describing the end of Zman Mincha. Right? Even though, right? Why didn't the Mishnah say Shkiyas Achama? Okay, anyway, probably because of the Pasuk. So, that's a guess of mine. I don't have a source for that. Anyway, so Lifnos Erev. Ve'ein Sicha Ela Tfila. And Sicha over here is a reference to Tfila. Sicha means conversation, but in this context understood as davening. Shenemar Tfila La'ani Ki Atof Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. And Yaakov Tiken Tfilas Arvis. And Yaakov is responsible for Mariv. Shenemar Ve'yifka Ba'makom Ve'yalem Sham. Ve'ein Pigia Ela Tfila. Now, Pigia, to be pogea, literally means to come to contact with. And that's a reference to tefillah. Shenemar v'atal tespala ba'adam azev al tisa ba'adam rina v'tefillah v'al tifka bi. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which is not a positive pasuk. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to hear from you. But we're using the pasuk to teach us what the word paga means. Paga means to make contact with me, to talk to me. I don't want to hear from you.
They didn't give us a nusach of tefillah, just
right. In other words, they model for us the ideas of tefillah. V'tanya kavasi Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and we have a brace of supporting Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Mimnei ma'amru tefillah sashachar chatzos sharei tamash sashachar karav olechad chatzos. So you could daven shachris to chatzos because you can offer the carbon shel shachris until chatzos. Rav Yehuda amar ad arba shaos sharei tamash sashachar karav olech ad arba shaos. And Rav Yehuda's disagreement in terms of zman is because he disagrees regarding the carbon shel shacharis. It's only till 4 hours. And umimnei ma'amru tefillas mincha ad ha'erev, sharei tamash shel bein arbaim krava holech ad ha'erev. And as far as the mincha is concerned, so that's ad ha'erev because the tamash shel bein arbaim is ad ha'erev, meaning until shkia. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad plaga mincha, sharei tamash shel bein arbaim krava holech ad plaga mincha. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees because he disagrees regarding the zman of the carbon. And as far as Mariv is concerned, there is no keva. You have the whole night to daven Mariv because the fats and the limbs of the karbanos that were not burned during the day, you have the entire night to burn them. Musaf, you have all day because the carbon musaf you have all day. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad sheva sha'o shari karban musaf krav olech ad sheva sha'os. And again, Rav Yehuda also disagrees regarding the zman of musaf, and that is you only have until 7 hours into the day. Ve'ezi mincha gedola mishay sha'os mechsa olamala. Mincha gedola 6.5 hours. Ve'ezi mincha ketana mitesha sha'os mechsa olamala. And mincha ketana is 9.5 hours into the day. Okay. Akam will stop over here. Tomorrow we open up with Rav Yehuda and plaga mincha. What exactly is plaga mincha? That'll be our starting point for today. Recapping. We finished up the third parak today. We spoke about more discussion regarding cleanliness and the idea that you have to be davening in a clean area. And if you are davening in a room where there is a toilet bowl, a chamber pot, so what kind of separation is necessary? Machlokus amongst the Tanaim and a machlokus amongst the Amoraim, exactly what the halacha is regarding the amount of separation that needs to occur. Not to have Tashmish Amita in front of a Sefer Torah, right? That finishes off Chaf Hei Amud Beis and goes into Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. And what would serve as separation between the Sefer Torah and the couple that want to have Tashmish Amita one with another? And so a Mechitza Asara, putting it into a separate room. More of our discussion for today. When Soa is in front of you, so even though the Mishnah says Dala Amos Harchaka, but if it's in front of you, you cannot see the tsoa. That was the qualification we also saw earlier this morning. Hazmana by Beis Akise. Significant or not significant? A discussion. Ravina asked a question. Okay. Person is straddled with two tumas. One of them requires a tefillah for Takanas Ezra. Does that person have to tov on the mikvah? Machlokus between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda would argue whether or not the Takanas Ezra tefillah came before or after the other tumah. Good. The new parak, fourth parak of the Masechta, we opened up with Shmona Esrei. We talked about the Zmanim of Shachris, Mincha, Mariv, and Musaf. What is the optimum time of davening Shachris? Our Mishnah is not giving us the optimum time. The Mishnah is just giving us the window of opportunity. We spoke about the idea of Tashlumim. the basic difference between when you could say when you can make up a tefillah, when can you not? That's shogeg versus mazid. If you missed your tefillah b'shogeg, so then you can make it up. If you missed it b'mazid, then you cannot make it up. And then the big discussion on the Amud Beis today is that tefillahs are keneged avos, are keneged tamidim. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, tefillahs keneged avos, and according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, tefillahs keneged tamidim.